It's worse here every day. Thomas Paine podcast. Paine in the morning. Thursday, September 3rd, 9/3/20. This was the name of one of my oldest songs. You know how old I am? This was named one of my newspaper articles in college. I had a newspaper column, and they threw me out of school. You think I'm new to this stuff? I'll give you a break. I've had people gunning for me since I was 18. This is Child's Play. Good stuff. We just had a great Wednesday, big Wednesday podcast, action packed episode 39. Listen to that one. It's got all kind of little goodies packed in there. A couple good interviews, some good intel, and I'm happy with that. Shout out to the people on Patreon.com/TruePundit. Subscribestar.com/TruePundit. What's going on out there, folks? We appreciate your support, your direct support. You have access to all the chats, the forums. Of course, you guys make that a special place. And I do appreciate it. We appreciate it here. Who knew that when Guns N' Roses wrote this, it would become the national anthem? It's crazy. I always appreciate your support on those platforms. It's the best way to benefit us directly, and it goes a long way. It really does, and it means a lot to us. And we try to bring the heat for you with the video podcast of Paine in the Morning, with the More Paine Show on Tuesday nights, with the Paine After Dark. Paine After Dark show, which we are developing. We had the pilot last week. And who knows this weekend? You don't know. You don't know when it's coming. Okay? It's a holiday weekend. Anything can happen. Keep an eye out there. So we appreciate the support there. It goes a long way. And if you got an extra couple bucks you could kick our way, hey, we'll put it to good use. We had the podcast all prepped and ready to roll. Okay? This is how it works in this business. And then we had something happen right before I went on the air, and we moved a story. I usually don't move stories late. Used to. We used to move stories 24/7. It was crazy. Well, first starting out, hustling, man, hustling, hustling. But that takes a toll on you when you're a small operation. It's like running in front of a farm combine, which is something some people may want me to do. Let me just read the headline here. Of course, our headline's always better than our headlines. This story's from the New York Post, but our headlines are better than the New York Post because I'm trapped in a bubble of the 1990s tabloid and media market in New York City. So I can do the New York Post better than the New York Post can do it. Let's get some. Oh, we got to get some music. Hold on. I forgot. We got to get some music going for this story. New York mob boss threatens President Trump. Cuomo says Trump better have an army to protect him. This guy, the mob boss, Cuomo's back. Cuomo's back. Last night, Cuomo made his debut on the podcast. Now he's back. I thought it was a one-night performance. He's back. Command performance. He's back. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on Wednesday all but threatened President Trump's safety. I say he threatened him, period. After you read this, you understand why. If he returns to New York City in a rant, responding to an exclusive story in the Post that said Trump is looking to pull federal funds from lawless cities, including New York, Cuomo called an emergency press briefing within a half an hour. That's like, I want all members of the five families here. Give me the members of the five families. We're going to settle this. The war's back on. Listen to this maniac. Calls an emergency press briefing within a half an hour on Wednesday night to tear into Trump for the order, which cites New York's rising murder rate and the defunding of the NYPD. He better have an army if you think he's going to walk down the street in New York City. New Yorkers don't want to have anything to do with him. The Democrat said, all but threatening the commander-in-chief. That sounds like a threat to me. That's not all but threatening. But Cuomo, who, like Trump, hails from Queens, wasn't done. He can't have enough bodyguards to walk through the New York City. People don't want to have anything to do with him. On substance, Cuomo said he doubted the legality of Trump's five-page memo ordering a review of federal funds that can be redirected from New York City, Portland, Seattle, and Washington, D.C.
It's more the same from him. It's political. It's gratuitous. And it's illegal. But it's another attempt to kill New York City. President Ford said drop dead.
What? What is he talking about?
President Trump has been actively trying to kill New York since he's been elected.
President Ford said drop dead. This guy. Is he talking about who was president?
President Ford was in the White House when The Godfather came out. He talked to Don Corleone. He told him to drop dead.
This guy's insane. In a highly personal and insulting language, Cuomo speculated that Trump wasn't upset about New York's soaring murder rate and shootings.
I think it's because he's from New York City, and New York City rejected him always. He was dismissed as a clown. Those who knew him best like him the least.
Cuomo continued to jeer.
He was disrespected in New York City. Nobody took him seriously, and he was a tabloid cartoon.
This guy's lost his mind. Oh, wait a minute. We have a quote from him? Wait a second. I didn't know that. Let's turn off our Cuomo music. I finally have some Cuomo house music now for all his antics. We got the house music. We got the voice.
What do you mean you got a voice? Watch your mouth, pal.
Yeah. Eldrick, get up here. There's going to be a rumble. It's West Side Story. Turn West Side Story off. We got some real action up here.
We have a quote from this guy. Let me turn off Cuomo's music. I thought it was a newspaper article. What's going on? How do we have these video quotes? I don't know. Let's go with it. See what happens.
But I'm a superstitious man. And if some unlucky accident should befall him, if he should get shot in the head by a police officer, or if he should hang himself in his jail cell, or if he's struck by a bolt of lightning, then I'm going to blame some of the people in this room. And then I do not forgive.
Wow, Cuomo's really taking it up a notch. I mean, he sounds just like the mob boss. Oh, man. Oh, you can't even make this stuff up, folks. Oh, boy. I have some fun doing this show lately. I don't know. It's just I'm entertained. So I hope you folks are, because I'm having fun doing it. Okay, where are we going from here? Oh, another laws are for the little people. I like the little footnotes these guys write in. Little red notes. They write in the margins. It says laws are for the little people again. Pelosi admits breaking a lockdown for a salon visit. Blames business. Says she did nothing wrong. I tweeted about this early tonight. Some of these pundits online are obsessed with this story. It's okay to talk about it briefly, but they spent all day talking about it. I mean, come on, we have serious issues in this country. It's cool to talk about stuff, but to harp on it, that's all you got. That's what I said. That's all you people have? This and
stories about Fredo Cuomo. We're doing another story about Fredo.
Come on, give it up, man. It's cool to talk about it, right? But don't harp on it all day. You guys are a bunch of hobos out there on TV and on the internet. These journalists, pundits, it's like a coffee clutch talking about Nancy's hair all day. What do you guys have? You soy latte types. Like,
I was talking about that beauty parlor all day, man. That's what people want to hear.
Yeah, people are worried about putting fucking food on their table. And you're worried about who's got curlers in their hair. Bunch of dumbasses. What's the song we got queued up for this? On Tuesday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi released a statement via her deputy chief of staff confessing to breaking a city lockdown rules to get her hair done indoors at a San Francisco salon on Monday, not even wearing a mask. Pelosi, however, is not admitting to any wrongdoing, instead shifting blame to the salon she visited.
The speaker always wears a mask and complies with the local COVID requirements, said a statement from Pelosi's deputy chief of staff, Drew Hamill. This business offered for the speaker to come in on Monday and told her that they were allowed by the city to have one customer at a time in the business, Hamill added. The speaker complied with the rules as presented to her by this establishment.
Security footage taken from the small business and provided to Fox News appears to confirm the salon owner's allegation, showing the leading House Democrat with wet hair and no mask walking through the shop on Monday. Well, you could make an argument that she had a mask on. Her face is made out of plastic or something. Rubber or paper mache or asbestos. I don't know what. Hair salons across the city were allowed to open for outdoor services only on Monday for the first time since March. Well, technically, she did park her broom outside, so I don't know if that counts, but it was just a slap in the face that she went in, you know, that she feels that she could just go and get her hair done while no one else is allowed to go in and I can't work. E-salon owner Arika Kios told Fox News, "We're supposed to look up to this woman, right? It's just disturbing." Of course you're supposed to look up to her, especially when she has her high heel on your neck. She's standing on your chest. You have to look up to her. So,
One of my fraternity brothers texted me, hey, Wheat's out there, you listening? He says, so Nancy's using the old Marion Barry alibi. The bitch set me up. It's so true. Remember Marion Barry got caught smoking crack in a hotel room by the FBI with a hooker? And he's on tape saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you guys doing? Put the guns away. This bitch set me up. Mary Berry then went to prison. Federal Correctional Institute in Loretta, Pennsylvania. And after he was released from the Bureau of Prisons facility, he was reelected mayor of Washington, D.C. So don't let a few felonies or prostitutes or crack get in your way of politics. Sometimes it's a prerequisite for running for office. We're starting off the night pretty good here, the morning pretty good here. We got two mob bosses. We got mob boss Cuomo. And then the mob boss, Pelosi, who grew up and her dad was literally like a mob boss. D'Alessandro out of Baltimore. We talked to family members. This guy, the old man, he was former mayor of Baltimore, and then he was a House member in Congress, in U.S. Congress. Family would come over to the house, and he sits in a chair, and they like kiss the ring. He was like the Don. He was connected to all these gangsters and stuff. Nice guy. She grew up in that house, and you wonder why she is the way she is. Google it, D'Alessandro. That's her maiden name. What do we got here? Wisconsin police. An Antifa member with a flamethrower cried in a fetal position when he was caught. Is anyone surprised? Oh, we have a little Godsmack who has a song called Crying Like a Bitch. This is a family show. I don't know what the fuck is going on here, but it's vulgarity in a title of a song is not fucking allowed. Refreshment minute. This is Godsmack. I got some Slayer up. We got The Who. We got some Clash. We got Chicago. We got Poison. We got Big Audio Dynamite. Bruce Springsteen. Bryan Adams. Who the hell else we got? Maybe some B.B. King. Maybe some Albert King. Stevie Ray Vaughan. Guns N' Roses. The Hooters. Don Henley. Who knows what's coming? We're off to a hell of a start. A suspected member of Antifa who was allegedly armed with a flamethrower cried in a fetal position before his arrest during a Saturday evening protest in Green Bay, Wisconsin, according to law enforcement. What else is there to do on a Saturday night in Green Bay but get in the fetal position and cry? You try that in the winter, you'll be crying. Matthew Banta, 23, is charged with obstructing an officer and two counts of felony bail jumping and crying like a bitch. That's a crime. In Green Bay. We didn't know. Green Bay's tough. The criminal complaint says Banta is known to be a violent Antifa member who incites violence in his otherwise relatively peaceful protest. Police say he's known as a Commander Red and a fucking crybaby. That's weird that they would put that part in, but these guys are very thorough in their reports. This guy, they're going to love this guy in prison. Guy comes in. You get one phone call. Can I have a box of Kleenexes instead, if you don't mind? I'm on a crying jag over here. Responding officer says he saw four individuals walking toward a protest with baseball bats. One man was wearing a metal helmet with goggles and military-style gear with multiple pouches and was carrying an Antifa flag. When the police officer pulled a squad car in front of the group, they ran away. These guys are tough.
The officer caught Banta, who was carrying a flag, and says Banta dropped into a fetal position to begin crying. This guy. It's worrisome when people associated with Antifa come here to Green Bay from out of town for the purpose of protesting here or for the purpose of committing violent acts, said Green Bay Police Chief Andrew Smith. In early August, Banta was charged with biting, kicking, and pointing a firearm at a police officer at a protest in Waupaca. Charged with biting, kicking, and pointing a firearm at a police officer. Check his rap sheet for a slap fight. He was involved in 3 cat fights previously. Yeah, normally when people in Green Bay fall into a fetal position and cry like a little bitch, they're trying to buy tickets. They're trying to scalp tickets at the Packers game. When they find the price, they just fall right into a ball, start crying. Oh, man. What do we got next? Having some fun already. In an unprecedented move, the CDC halts most rental evictions until the end of 2020. Thank God the CDC is taking control of the entire country. It's just fucking great. We actually were on top of this story when it broke today. And we had it out pretty fast. And one of the readers on our Twitter, on Thomas Paine's Twitter, said, oh, does this mean that if you don't get your... It's kind of scary, actually, what he said, and it makes a lot of sense. If you don't get your vaccine, the CDC can evict you from your apartment or your house that you're renting. The CDC is taking over for your landlord, which said the CDC is your new landlord. It's insane. What do we have for that? Oh, yeah. We pulled this one out. Meet the new boss. Or meet the new landlord, same as the old landlord, same as the old boss. Won't get fooled again. Unfortunately, we're getting fooled daily. In an unprecedented move on Tuesday, with Congress unable to reach a common ground on virtually any stimulus extension, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention unveiled today it would temporarily, at least through the end of 2020, suspend most rental evictions for Americans struggling to pay rent due to the pandemic. Can you imagine? Guy knocks on the door.
Yeah, we gave you several months where you didn't have to pay, but now you have to get out. Is that Fauci outside? I can't see. I'm looking out the fucking people. It looks like I always see this at the top of a head. It's like some small man, small gray-haired man. This is Dr. Fauci. You have to get the hell out of your apartment. We're laying down the law.
This is a step which the press dubbed was the broader than eviction protections already in place. The move comes as negotiations on further coronavirus aid have been stalled as Republicans and Democrats refuse to budge on top line numbers for what a new relief package would cost. How is this even constitutional? I'll try to sneak that in. How is it even? I don't get it. These guys just do whatever the fuck they want. Robert Redfield, the guy who was caught falsifying vaccine research for HIV, he's now your new landlord. The guy who looks like he should be making an Amish fireplaces. In a phone call with reporters, officials said the order will apply to Americans who qualified for direct payments under the CARES Act. To be sure, there are some hurdles. Renters will have to prove that they've taken best efforts possible to seek government assistance to make the rental payments. And the government's going to check on that, I'm sure. It's going to be real stringent requirements. And renters will have to declare that they are unable to pay rent due to COVID financial hardship and must show they will likely become homeless or move into congregate housing settings if they are evicted. But that should not be a problem for anyone willing to live rent-free indefinitely. Renters will also have to fill out several forms found on the CDC's website. and just what we want to give the government more information about ourselves.
Which side of the neck do you like to get stuck in with the needle when you're not looking? Left or right?
Oh, I don't know. Honey, what's...
Mildred! She's not around, but you could just stick her right in the back of the neck. She won't... Oh, I said, what the heck?
Forget it, I can't say that. This will be a declaration presented to the landlord if that landlord approaches a tenant with an intent to evict. Because the move is federally mandated, it would become a criminal offense if the landlord chose to ignore the declaration. But it could still end up in the courts, possibly leading to legal actions. They could show up on background checks and credit reports. How the fuck does the CDC get to write what's a criminal law now? The criminal code. A fucking bullshit. They don't have the power to do that. I guess they do. What the hell do I know? They kicked my door in twice. For not doing much at all. They might be back again. Because I'm not going to fucking let down. I'm eastbound and down on these motherfuckers.
Hildred, he dropped the MF-er. Turn off Beretta.
And while landlords are being effectively stripped of most, if not all, of their rights with this extraordinary intervention, they will still be able to remove tenants for committing criminal acts, threatening the health, safety of other residents, damaging property, or other health and safety considerations. An official added, although good luck getting through to local police station and reporting a crime in a country where defunding the local law enforcement is seen as the pinnacle of progressive thought. As for those asking just why on earth a decision to halt evictions is being made by the CDC and not, say, Congress, an official said, this CDC director has authority to take measures.
This CDC director has authority to take measures that he reasonably necessary to mitigate the spread of a communicable disease.
Yeah, okay. Take it easy, spokesman. Put your pants back on. Fuck's sake. Here it is. Perfect timing. New revolution, they mentioned. You better start doing your push-ups like Joe Biden. Insane. Are you following me? Do you find this stuff equally as insane as I do? Now, I said this next story. I said this was going to happen in March, if you've been listening, since we went on a daily show and also on the weekly shows we were doing back then. These daily news shows are something new, and the weekly podcast, and also on the Moore Payne Show. I said this specifically, and I'll tell you where I came up with it, along talking to a lot of feds. I just had a conversation with a couple of feds today, but they were talking about how they were worried about their savings getting wiped out from this whole thing if it goes on longer than 15 days. Now, back then, they were talking about
15 days or you're all going to die.
Everybody's pretty reasonable. Yeah, 15 days, that's like a vacation. We can do 15 days. Coming up on 180 days, folks. And there's no end in sight. So, now if you know how the government works, like most of us out here that have been doing this a long time, you understand that 15 days means we're fucked. But John Moynihan told me early on, too, he said, in his Boston accent, which I can't do, I have to practice it. He said, you know what this is? This is a disparity operation. They're going to bleed everybody. They're going to bleed the middle class. They're going to drain them. This is about disparity, putting people in their place. And he was right. And it dovetailed with everything I was hearing. And here we are. Here we are. Coming up, I call it 180 days. I don't know. That's 6 months. It sounds about, it's probably might be longer than that.
I don't know. I don't even fucking know what day it is. I think it's Friday. Is it Friday? No, it's Thursday. See what I mean? Headline, millions of Americans had their emergency savings wiped out by the downturn. Play a little bank robber. Little bank robber. A new survey via CNBC and Acorns Invest, commissioned by SurveyMonkey, and we all know SurveyMonkey is one of the best in the business. What was the one we had yesterday? Value Penguin? They were doing surveys. Value Penguin was doing surveys. Now we got SurveyMonkey. You have to dumb these company names down for all the idiots we have in this country. Gallup and Rasmussen are so yesterday.
Did you see that thing on SurveyMonkey? Was that crazy or what? No. I saw something on Value Penguin. That was bullshit.
Fucking dummies in this country. SurveyMonkey found that the virus-induced recession wiped out 14% or about 46 million Americans' emergency savings. There's a chart.
Is there charts? Is there charts with your story? I like charts.
It's on the website. About 17% had to tap into emergency savings to cover living expenses. 11% had to borrow money to cover everyday expenses. 6% stopped contributing to 401k or other retirement accounts. And 5% asked for rent relief. And more than 5% asked for rent relief based on numbers. See, this is the exact kind of shitty survey you would expect from a monkey. The survey of more than 5,400 adults in August found that older millennials depleted their emergency savings the most. Now, weed's not cheap this time in a pandemic. About 26% of those aged 25 to 34 said their savings had been drained as they struggled to survive the downturn. Only 6% of boomers drained savings. They've been through multiple boom bust cycles and understand the importance of saving for a rainy day. Oh, do they? Good. That means we can just wipe out Social Security that they get so that I'll fucking end up getting some if they're so goddamn responsible. You think boomers are fucking responsible with money? Really? The people that fucked around with psychedelical drugs like they were Tic Tacs? Give me a break. Unlike millennials who've only been through one recession. Well, these rookies. The virus-induced recession has caused unprecedented economic damage, while more than 30 million Americans are collecting unemployment benefits. The labor market recovery is stalled as the Fed's new policy to raise the inflation target above 2% will result in higher cost of living for tens of millions broke and jobless Americans. What's even more stunning is that a quarter of all personal income is derived from the government. And folks, if you don't think this rent fucking magic trick that the Fed is playing. Called the Fed. What the hell's the difference? They're all the same goddamn. They're all bank robbers. Daddy was a bank robber. He never hurt nobody. He just liked to live that way. The government likes to steal your money. The government steals your money. Run, rabbit, run, yeah. The CDC. If you don't think this move by the CDC is going to rake and hike and spike everything cost-wise, you're insane. And guess what's going to happen? Potentially.
We need... the housing market is a disaster. Since the CDC took it over, it's really bad. We're going to need another $3 trillion to bail this shit out and stabilize the bond markets. Now, you don't want the financial system to collapse again. Remember when that all happened? Yeah, we don't want that to happen again. So we're going to need $3.5 trillion to make sure that people can still stay in their places. And stabilize the bond market.
Oh, okay. $3 trillion is still big. Just $3 trillion.
Yeah.
You watch. You watch.
Oh, brother. Uh-oh. Chicago faces a record $1.2 billion shortfall following the catastrophic economic collapse, riots, and violence, and just general stupidity by the elected officials there. What a mess. These guys created a massive mess. Oh, we have to play a little Chicago. Yeah. In honor of Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Even taxpayers need a holiday, I heard them say, from these bird brains. I'm rewriting all these songs in COVID theme. My new album's coming out on Ronco. From some gunshots. It's so easy. Far away from that body in the street. All day we could do that. We used to do this in college all day long. Drink beer and rhyme and make fun of people. That's what we majored in, I think. Doesn't look good on a resume. That's why I went into journalism. Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightweight. Damn it, I did it again. Lightfoot announced Tuesday that the city is facing a historic $1.2 billion shortfall for the fiscal year 2021, following what the mayor called a catastrophic economic collapse caused by the coronavirus pandemic and why widespread rioting and looting did an estimated $60 million in physical damage to the city's downtown and tourism industry. No math genius, but $60 million in physical damage and damage to the tourism industry. Not quite sure how that adds up to $1.2 billion. I think Lightfoot had some economic woes long before this happened. Nobody asked her,
Mayor... You said there's $60 million loss. How do you get the $1.2 million?
Well, she would say, well, 60 plus 60 is 120.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good point. Wait a minute. That would be 120 million. She's got 1.2 billion. That doesn't make any sense.
Thank you. The mayor's not taking any more questions. Thank you. Thank you very much. Saint Chicago faces a crisis unlike anything we have experienced in our lifetime. I don't think so. Remember the fucking cow burnt down the city? It's probably a bigger crisis. Mrs. O'Leary's cow? Seems like a bigger crisis. You get shot in the head by Al Capone? You're cruising around Chicago or Cicero? Take a bullet to the head? That's a big crisis. Mayor Lori Lightfoot painted a grave financial picture for the city on Monday, detailing a projected $1.2 billion shortfall.
On top of the colossal shortfall, the city's financial picture worsened significantly during the past 3 months because of an economic catastrophe caused by the coronavirus pandemic, Lightfoot said, according to the outlet. The city's budget for the current fiscal year is now $799 million in the red, she said.
Chicago did get an estimated $470 million in federal funding from the third bipartisan coronavirus relief bill, the CARES Act, passed back in early May. We're fucking subsidizing this insanity. The reason this bird brain broad is having a shortfall for 2021 is her ratables are down because businesses like Walmart packed their shit up because their customers were getting fucking the blue light special. Was you could leave the store and get dropped by a drive-by. Or running a blue light special in the parking lot
You have less than 15 seconds to get to your car and get everything unpacked, or you could be dropped. Oh, shit. When does this start?
In Chicago, the layaway at these stores are filled with bodies. It's not a joke. The mayor is likely addressing the city's blah, 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 this fucking broad. Oh, shit, blah, blah, blah. That's the riots. Everything's everybody else's fucking fault. We owe all this money. You still, $470 million or $700 million, let's just say, does not add up to $1.2 billion. She's got a lot more math to do. She better hope for a couple more coronaviruses before she can make that reconcile. This idiot is doing the city's budget on a speaking spell. I've had it with that bird brain. We're moving on.
He's out of control now. He's picking on Beetlejuice. Mildred.
Oh, man. Here we go. Here we go. CDC letter urges governors to prepare for a coronavirus vaccine distribution in the fall of 2020. Pushing this for before the election. Can you imagine what they're going to be pumping into you? They push this stuff through, this vaccine. I talked to Bobby Kennedy Jr. I'm supposed to talk to him next week about this shit. We'll see what happens. What do we have? How about something from, you know what they're going to be pumping into you? Pure battery acid poison. So let's go to some poison. And for the vaccine companies, you know what this whole nightmare is going to, it's a nightmare for us, but for them, it's nothing but a good time.
Woo! Woo! Yeah! Let's get that vaccine going. Everybody out there, put your hands together for a vaccine. Yeah! Put your hands together for a vaccine. Woo! Mildred, he's playing a lot of songs they play at the strip club. No. For the Sopranos. From the Bada Bing when I used to watch the series. No, I don't. I think that was from the strip club. I don't know.
You can't. I have to laugh. I have to laugh. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And we have to change the name now. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Protection of Renters issued a letter to U.S. governors alerting them to the need to prepare for their states for distributing a coronavirus vaccine this fall. This coronavirus vaccine put the fall in fall, I'll tell you that. Several vaccine candidates have been in phase 3 clinical trials, with production ramping up in the event any of them are ultimately approved for use. Remember that show, The Walking Dead? They won't need any stunt doubles for the sequel. The U.S. Department of Health and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are rapidly making preparations to implement large-scale distribution of COVID-19 vaccines in the fall of 2020, the letter from CDC Director Robert I Like to Fabricate Vaccine Research Redfield, dated August 27, said. This vaccine distribution is expected to be a public health effort of significant scale, potentially involving hundreds of millions of vaccine doses to be distributed across the U.S. Yeah. When the Humvee is in your driveway, you know it's time to get the fucking vaccine.
Hit the shotgun, Mildred. Fuck these guys.
you know, but nobody in the White House, nobody in D.C., not one fucking senator, not one congressman has made a lot of noise that this is a rushed process. Nobody's worried. You know why? Everybody's going to get paid. Nothing but a good time in D.C. They're all going to get paid. Vaccines take 7-10 years in many cases to perfect. These assholes squeezed it into 10 weeks. I'm sure that's healthy and safe. You can't even make it up. Would you put that in? Fuck that shit. Fuck that. There's some cement heads out there. Total cement heads. Portland Mayor Ted the Wheelman Wheeler. He's moving from his residence after far-left extremists, after Antifa. Just call what it is, the fucking Daily Wire. It's soft. It's just so bad. I told these guys I don't want any more fucking Daily Wire stories in here. Anyway, tell us how you really feel about it. Wheeler is on the run. Because I have to rewrite this stuff because it's so, like, fucking white rice bullshit.
Racial. He said white rice. That's got to be racial somewhere. That's definitely racial somewhere. Well, I think we got him. We got him. Call Brock.
Wheeler's moving out? He just moved in. I don't get it. Forcing the guy out of his condo. That's not fair. He just moved on into this place. Actually, they do fry in the kitchen when the whole building's on fire. That's a departure from the lyrics. Everything's on fire when the building's on fire. This guy's trying to burn this guy up. Even make it up. Democrat Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler told residents in his condo building on Monday that he intends to move out of the facility after it was attacked by far-left extremists, also known as Antifa. Will help the Daily Wire out there a little bit. They're struggling. Saying that he was doing so for the benefit and safety of all the residents. Now he cares about, he doesn't care about any any other residents in the city of Portland, just the people that he lives with. Yeah, my ass. He's worried they're going to fucking torch all of his IKEA furniture. Yeah, they're frying in the kitchen. They're burning on the grill. They burn a fucking picnic table out in front of his house. Picnic tables don't burn in the kitchen. Yeah, they do. And in Portland, they do. The Oregonian reported that Wheeler told residents that it would be best for me and for everybody else's safety and peace that he finds a new place to live. I thought this guy was, like, legit. He was, like, a tough guy. Oh, it turns out he's just another liberal who's born to run when there's trouble. Pages on Highway 9, my apartment's on fire, I gotta get the hell out of here. Oh, my joint's a death trap, it's a suicide rap, these extremists are gonna burn me out. Yeah, so right now, you know what it's time for? I want to express my sincere apologies for the damage to our home and the fear that you are experiencing due to my position. The email said, it's unfair to all of you who have no role in politics or in my administration. What about the people in the city? Where's the email to the people who had their fucking businesses torched? Like a tiki torch. What about the people who got fucking burned out of their homes? What about the federal government trying to burn down the courthouse? Where's your apology email to them? You see how these guys operate? The local paper reported that Wheeler bought a two-bedroom condo in a 114-unit building in 2017 for $840,000. That's what this guy's worried about. He's worried about losing his $840,000 and his IKEA furniture. These guys, I have to give them, I have to point something out here. They have found an underbelly. These radicals have found an underbelly. They show up at these guys' houses and they fucking panic. Before that, they don't really care. Oh, yeah, these guys, no big deal. It's a city of love, summer of love. These guys have found out when they show up at these guys' houses in the neighborhoods and they cause trouble, they force these guys to make moves. Okay? And there's nobody around to stop them because the cops are fucking missing in action. Okay? Or overburdened or whatever the hell's going on there. They have tripped across a very effective tool and don't expect it to stop. Now Wheeler, the wheel, that's why I call him the wheel man. He's firing up the camper. Jammed with broken Wheeler on a last chance power drive, man. Yeah, Bruce, sing it, Bruce. We love you, Bruce. It's true. They're forcing these guys out of their places. The police chief in Seattle, she quit her job. Just leave my family alone. Don't come around my house. Wasn't the mayor also of Seattle? They showed up at her house. She fucking panicked. Don't expect it to stop. They're on to something and they know it. These guys smell trouble and they're not going to back off because who's stopping them? I mean, who's stopping them? It's a little known, I'll explain it to you real quick if you want me to. It's a little known technique that works like a charm. I used to use it in journalism. Somebody's ducking me. Hello, 7 o'clock at night. Who, honey, somebody's here for you, honey. Yeah, I've been looking for this fucking guy all day. Somebody's at the door. Can't avoid you. You got him. It's very unorthodox that you show up at my house. Yeah, you're ducking me. You're ducking me all day. Guess what? Now I'm here. Now you got to deal with me because I'm not going away. I will call the police. I will have you forcibly removed. This is an outrage. And an invasion of pride. Shut the fuck up and start talking, right? This is like what you use. The cops use it. The cops want to talk to you. You don't want to talk to them. They knock on your door. Reporters knock on your door. Now, these guys have figured out, let's just go to their fucking house. It works. It does. Take it from me. I've been doing it a long time. And they know it now. They've been coached up very well. Whoever's coaching these guys are pros. Believe me, they don't come up with this stuff on their own. They've never ventured out to people's houses on their own before in the past. This is a new wrinkle in their tool chest. Charges were dropped against a man at a Portland riot. He later stabbed multiple people to death. Well, here we go again, right? For the police department, unbelievable. A man accused of stabbing two people to death in Portland in June was previously arrested during a riot in downtown Portland a week prior to the killings. But the charges were dropped when progressive. Here we go, Daily Wire again, playing fucking grab ass. This fucking sock puppet show of a newspaper, whatever the hell they're doing over there. He's a communist. God damn it.
This bullshit, I gotta rewrite it on the fucking fly. This tapioca fucking wimpy ass shit. Call it what it is, you fucking cowards.
We don't want to offend our advertisers. Oh, we could lose some money.
I'd rather lose money than respect to my readers. Fucking assholes. Charges were dropped when communist district attorney Mike Schmidt reportedly decided not to pursue charges. Casey Leighton, 22, and Jeff Hate Hobbs. That's got to be Nate Hobbs, right? No one has a fucking nickname, Hate. 39 were stabbed on June. Maybe it is. Who knows? They were stabbed on June 16th near Northeast Davis Street. Police arrested Philip Lawrence Nelson. Notice all these maniacs always use three names. Lee Harvey Oswald. John Wilkes Booth. John Wayne Gacy. If you use three names, I think the percentage is probably higher. You're going to become some kind of maniac. That doesn't apply to women. Women use hyphenated names all the time when they're not on a killing spree. But men, if they're using three names, and look out. So the police arrested Philip Lawrence Nelson, 39, 2 days later. The news reported Tuesday he faces two murder charges and is being held without bail. Just days before he allegedly killed Leighton and Hobbs, though, Nelson was taken into custody at a protest in downtown Portland. Court records show he was arrested on charges of interfering with the cops. Those charges were dismissed the next day, again by the communist district attorney. I'm helping them out here. I need a little help. The report from the local CBS affiliate says that investigators believe that the two victims were murdered as part of a dispute they had with Nelson over a renting issue. Well, if he just would have waited, the CDC could have fucking been a good arbitrator here. God damn it. Why couldn't the CDC illegally intervene earlier? That'd be a good argument from his defense. Ladies and gentlemen, the jury, everybody knows that the CDC is in charge of rents right now. If they would have acted earlier, illegally and capriciously, my client would never be in this position. I implore to you, who's responsible? Leighton and Hobbs' roommate told police that they were originally renting the unit in a fourplex near Nelson, who claimed to be the owner of the building. When the three roommates found out Nelson was actually just squatting there, they changed the locks to their unit, angering Nelson, records state. Let's hope Fauci doesn't end up doing the same thing. This Fauci guy, does he own the building? This is from the CDC. Is he the new super? Go down the hall, tell Fauci we got a leaky pipe. This is bullshit. He specializes in leaky pipes. He doesn't even have to get on his back to work under a sink. He just walk under there. That guy fits right under the sink. He's handy. You get what's going on here. You get what's going on here. This is crazy. Unbelievable. Another organization and murder and mayhem brought to you by our corporate sponsors of BLM. We shout out to them. No mention of that in the article, though, of course. You don't want to upset anybody. God forbid journalism would actually piss somebody off. You don't want to do that. We want to keep our advertisers happy. We don't want any strife. Where are we at on this? Let me play a little music here. And let me check on a few things. We had an extra song. Oh, yeah. About Rush by Big Audio Dynamite. I had that picked out for the vaccine story. If I had my time again, I would do it all. Throughout my years,
fully grown. And I know where it's at.
Big Audio Dynamite, Mick Jones's group after the Clash. Still got that Clash feel though, doesn't it? Listen, we have a lot of stories here in this batch today. Some of these stories are going to be in the news story on True Pundit or Pain in the Morning. You want to check out some extra stories. We have a couple bonus stories here. Minneapolis Code. Bars business owners from installing security shutters to protect their businesses. You want to check that out? they won't let people protect themselves. Is the basic rundown of it. It's against the code to protect yourself and your businesses in Minneapolis. and another one is, it's going to be on there, is DC committee recommends changes to the Washington Monument, Jefferson Memorial, and other historical assets. We might get to that tonight. I'll try to squeeze that in. But before that, I want to... we have a lot of charts and graphs on this next story. People like charts. What do we got here? Oh, I forgot to play Criminally Insane from Slayer during that last story. Wow. All right, well, we'll play a little on the move type music here. Albert King and Stevie Ray Vaughan, Matchbox Blues. Demand is insane. New York City movers turn people away. Suburban and rural housing snagged up as big city COVID exodus accelerates. The pandemic-induced summer of escape from New York continues.
What do you mean people are leaving? They better leave. I run this place. You understand? Let them leave. There's no trucks. We took all the trucks. We closed all the bridges. No one's going anywhere.
That kiss your throat, man. You have to practice that or something.
Are you some kind of pussy? You can't even imitate me, huh? What's the matter with you? Pick your game up.
Okay, I'll work on it.
He's talking to himself now, Mildred. This is getting good. Best 8 bucks a month I ever spent.
The pandemic-induced summer of escape from New York continues at a moment. Violent crime is on the rise. Restaurant and public venue closures make the city less appealing. Public transit is reeling in debt. And remote working setups are giving those with means greater mobility. More worrisome trends, or rather signs of time, signaling that for many, the gentrified Big Apple has, as one family recently put it, reached its expiration date. Two separate New York Times reports on Sunday detailed that moving companies are so busy they're in an unprecedented situation of having to turn people away, while simultaneously the suburbs are witnessing an explosion in demand unlike any other in recent memory. Let it happen.
Let it happen. I got to pay my dues.
And then there's the fresh data showing that during the pandemic, Americans are fast getting the hell out of the most expensive real estate meccas of New York and New Jersey. First, New York City moving are reporting a rush of customers so high it feels like move-out day on a college campus. But nobody gets, everybody gets the student loan, but nobody gets the degree. According to Flat Rate Moving, the number of moves it has done has increased more than 46% between March and August, compared with the same period last year. The number of those moving outside of New York City is up 50%, including a nearly 232% increase to Dutchess County and 116% increase to Ulster County in the Hudson Valley. And second, the Times details the unprecedented boom in the suburban real estate as an increasingly online workforce is fed up with the closures in the city, losing its appeal and vibrancy. July alone witnessed a whopping 44% increase in home sales among suburban counties compared to same time last year. Over 3 days in late July, a three-bedroom house in East Orange, New Jersey, was listed for sale for $285,000. It had 97 showings, received 24 offers, and went under contract for 21% over that price. East Orange, you got to drive through a fucking battlefield to get to it, though. You want to head out to East Orange or Maplewood. I know somebody's listening to this who knows what I'm talking about. A certain federal agent. Well, we used to roll back in the day that lived out there. And I literally had to take my fucking life in my own hands to get to his house. This isn't even, I mean, there's some nice houses out there, okay? But you literally have to go drive through a massive ghetto to get there. So this isn't like some incredible deal. On Long Island, six people made offers on a $499,000 house in Valley Stream without seeing it in person. After it was shown on a Facebook Live video. Isn't that how George Lutz sold his house in the Amityville Horror? That's a great place. It's roomy. A pig lives in the attic. And, excuse me, what? It's a lively attic. We have the attic refinished after it was swarmed by flies and Satan. That's a really good deal. It has a boathouse that's possessed. I mean, it, you possess it. And the devil lives here. But he pays a monthly stipend. People buying houses off Facebook Live. In the Hudson Valley, a nearly 3-acre property with a pool listed for $985,000 received 4 all-cash bids within a day of having 14 showings. Cash bids for $1 million, huh? Better not let...
A cash bid! Who's walking around with $1 million in New York I don't know about? Get over there! Fredo! Get over there! Put a gun behind the toilet!
Since the pandemic began, the suburbs around New York City, from New Jersey to Westchester County to Connecticut to Long Island, have been experiencing enormous demand for homes of all prices. A surge that is unlike any in recent memory, according to officials, real estate agents, and residents,
and local mob bosses.
They're not just fleeing for the suburbs or upstate, but also to the significantly cheaper and lower cost of living areas of the country, like Texas, Florida, South Carolina, and Oregon, or to rural areas. It sounds like, what's his name? Howard Dean. And we're going to go to Texas and Florida and South Carolina when we leave New York and New Jersey and Oregon. Woo! The Dean scream. Who knew that it would be United Van Lines' new commercial? COVID-19 is fast reviving American mobility on scales reminiscent of the mid-20th century. Bloomberg describes separately that far more people moved to Vermont, to Idaho, to Oregon, and South Carolina than left during the pandemic. Get Dean in here. This story has charts, if you like charts, I said that.
I see you might can do something with that.
I hope so.
Yeah. Take
it. Two greats right there. Two greats no longer with us. All the good ones are gone. Many of the good ones. Do we have enough time to sneak another one in here? I don't know. Yeah, what the hell? It's Thursday. Why not? D.C. committee recommends changes to Washington, the monument, the Jefferson Memorial, and other historical assets. Because, you know, these D.C. idiots, they when the mayor, former mayor Marion Barry, as I said, was smoking crack, and this new mayor, It sure sounds like there might be something a little bit similar happening there, but that's okay. It sounds like she's been drinking some Mad Dog 2020 or maybe some Night Train. A committee reporting to D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has come up with a list of dozens of historical monuments, schools, parks, government buildings, and other structures that it recommends making changes to because of the historical namesake's connection to slavery or racism. Even the Washington Monument and Jefferson Memorial. You bird brains in Washington, D.C., those fucking things don't belong to you. We paid for that, not you simple assholes. If you want to get some fucking monuments and relics off the street, start with the homeless people. They're your problem. Get those wooden Indians off the street. Leave our national monuments alone. You didn't have a goddamn thing to do with it. You don't pay for it. You don't pay for the upkeep. You don't pay for anything. Leave it alone. You guys are renters. Get the CDC in there, goddammit. I have a rental dispute with Mayor Muriel Bowser. She's messing around with our stuff. Get Redfield in there and Burks, Fauci. Get the Ghostbusters car. Get the Ghostbusters station wagon. And get the... That could be the official ride of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Pence can drive it, and those three idiots can dress up in suits and be dispatched. I have to get Fauci children's size jumpsuit, though. We don't need him tripping over. Tripping over long slacks. They're made for an adult. Among the historical figures named on the list are former presidents George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, Andrew Jackson, Henry William Harrison, John Tyler, Zachary Taylor, Woodrow Wilson, Vince Foster. Oh, he wasn't on there. I'm sorry. I got mixed up. The list also includes founding fathers Benjamin Franklin and George Mason, inventor Alexander Graham Bell, and the composer of the national anthem, Francis Scott Key. Yeah. They want Cardi B to write the national anthem now? That hoe. Jefferson Field, named for Thomas Jefferson, is among the assets the committee recommends using existing district government processes to rename. So was Franklin School, named for Benjamin Franklin. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin was known as a racist. Get the fuck out of here. Nonsensical bullshit. You guys should go fly a kite too in the lightning storm. I would sponsor that personally. You guys go fly a foil kite in a lightning storm. I will personally get a GoFundMe for that. We'll talk about Benjamin Franklin. It recommends the federal government remove, relocate, or contextualize several very famous tourist attractions, including the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, and the Benjamin Franklin statue. What's up with Benjamin Franklin all of a sudden? What did he do? Some were baffled over the report. Hey, D.C., they're not your monuments to rename or remove, tweeted Arkansas GOP Senator Tom Cotton. They're America's monuments. Exactly. That's what I said. While some of the historic figures have been criticized for decades, such as Jefferson, Jackson, and explorer Christopher Columbus, others have more recently come under scrutiny amid the protests over racial injustice and police brutality. We all know that Benjamin Franklin was kicking ass in the streets. He was also a part-time cop. Remember all those paintings of Benjamin Franklin in the street with a club? No, I don't either. We strongly believe all District of Columbia owned public spaces, facilities, and commemorative works should not only honor the, they're not your fucking stuff. I'm sorry to break the news to you. The Jefferson Memorial, the Washington Monument, all the things you're saying are not yours. You're fucking renters. You're like a summer renter down there. We built that city. It's built with tax money. It's fucking not yours. Okay? Go rent a car and drive it off a cliff and then have it towed back in to your rental office and see how that goes.
I paid the $6 damage waiver. This is an outrage.
See how that works out in the real world, you fucking dummies. Listen to what these assholes. They're getting paid again by tax money. Listen to this insanity. The committee said it took into account five factors when making a decision whether something should be renamed or taken down. Did the honoree participate in slavery? Was the honoree involved in the systemic racism? Did the person support oppression? Was the person involved in a supremacist agenda? And did the honoree violate the city's human rights law? What city's human rights law? From when? What?
We just passed this law, which makes it a law to violate anybody's human rights.
Well, what human rights?
Anything we say we don't like is a violation. And we want to reach all the way back to the 1700s to punish these sons of bitches who just broke a law that we created 2 minutes ago. We'll get these sons of bitches. We'll melt them down. And what's the price for brass? Does anybody know? Give me the price for scrap brass. We're going to teach these founding fathers a fucking lesson.
It's insane. It's crazy. These people are nuts. No business being in office. They should be locked in a fucking padded room. Special thanks to the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit for your patronage. You get to watch me literally come unglued on a daily basis now. And I'm told that the facial expressions and mannerisms and some of the crazy movements that I use are much more interesting than just the podcast. Well, I appreciate it. You know, sometimes you got to put a little spark into it. You can't just sit here like a robot, like the guys you see on TV, right?
I'm going to throw a football around like Sean Hannity. I'm going to be cool.
I'm going to put my fist through the camera is what I'm going to do. We appreciate your support. There it goes a long way. And if you're not on there already, think about jumping in. We're not supported by millionaires and billionaires and all that nonsense. And we're supported by you. And that's basically who we work for. We're trying to just get as much truth out as we can and have some fun on the way doing it. I don't think there's anybody else out here having fun doing this stuff. The people I watch and listen to are all yelling and stuff. It gets a little stressful. But you have to have some humor, for God's sakes, to point out how absurd it is. And I think humor is an incredible tool. It helps accentuate how insane this stuff is. So I'm glad that I was gifted in that realm, and I am trying to put my gifts and my talents to work all together in one package. And we appreciate the support. So as I say at the end of every show, take care. And wait a minute. I forgot to tell you. These guys keep telling me all the time. Tell them to share the stuff. Tell them to share. Okay, so I'll say. If you found this helpful, share it with somebody else. This podcast, also podcast number 39, the big Wednesday podcast that came out earlier on Wednesday. Share that as well so we can get it around, because it is hard to promote things on social media these days when you're trying to tell the truth. But it's real easy when you're trying to bullshit people, apparently, and spread a bunch of crap. So please share our stuff. That's what I'm told to say, and I'm also told that I don't say it enough. So in lieu of that, we would appreciate it if you spread it around, or if you like the show, you tell somebody, hey, this guy is fucking crazy, but he makes a lot of sense, so maybe listen to him. He's better than all these other drips you're stuck with. And that's the way we'll hopefully be able to grow the show organically. So as I say to you in a heartfelt manner every time I finish one of these shows, take care and God bless you.
You can tonight. You can't.